Lawmakers in Raleigh yesterday overrode all three of Governor Bev Perdue's recent vetoes. The bills that will become law include measures legalizing the gas drilling method known as fracking and one that limits the Racial Justice Act, which allows death row prisoners to appeal their sentences using statistical evidence to show discrimination. And finally, lawmakers overrode Perdue's veto of their $20.2 billion budget. Joining me now for analysis is Michael Bitzer, political science professor at Catawba College and also writer of WFAE's political blog, The Party Line. So what do these vetoes say about the power and influence of Governor Bev Perdue right now?
Well, I think it only confirms her lame duck status. Having not decided not to run for re-election, Governor Perdue really didn't have anything as a kind of carrot or even stick to offer to the Republicans to reverse themselves on things like the budget, the Racial Justice Act. So I think, you know, with her approval ratings as low as it is, it's not really a surprise. I think she's just going to go quietly into that good night, and Walter Dalton is going to hope that she doesn't do anything else to kind of, you know, continue to upset, because she is very unpopular, and it shows with these veto overrides.
Now, the Republicans were not able to complete these veto overrides on their own. How were Republicans in both chambers able to get enough support from the Democrats to get enough support to override these vetoes?
Yeah, the key chamber was the House, because they needed at least 4 to 5 Democrats siding with them, and they were able to convince some conservative Democrats who were probably going to face a pretty tough re-election bid this fall to side with them on some of the issues. Unfortunately, one of the Democrats on the override was Becky Carney from Charlotte, who mistakenly punched the wrong button when she was voting on the racial justice veto. So, you know, in legislatures, each political party is not homogeneous. They oftentimes need some folks from the other side, and they were able apparently to cut some deals to get the override vetoes.
Going back to Becky Carney for a second and her mistaken vote, why was she not allowed to change her vote? Why are there no mulligans allowed in the State House?
Well, one of the House rules, 24C, says that a member cannot change their vote if it would affect the outcome. Now, that has been waived in past votes, apparently, in the North Carolina State House. But the Republicans saw the chance. They weren't sure if they were going to have enough votes. And that one mistaken vote gave them the number of votes that they needed. And the House Republican leader, Paul Stamm, pulled a parliamentary procedure move that basically solidified the vote. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but these things tend to happen, and it's only going to cause, I think, greater tension among the parties in Raleigh.
Have you ever seen anything like this before, the mistaken vote being, you know, the one that pushes the override of the veto to go through?
It is so rare, but, you know, like everybody who's having to work a very full day until 11 o'clock at night, unfortunately, mistakes happen. We're all human, and these kinds of things happen. And apparently Representative Carney was just sick to her stomach about it. But I think it creates even more tension between the Democrats and the Republicans, and things are getting even more polarized, I'm afraid.
That's Michael Bitzer. He teaches political science at Catawba College, and he also writes WFAE's political blog, The Party Line. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Dr. Bitzer. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.